All right, guys, we've all heard this passage, Matthew 24:14. It says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come." What did Jesus mean when he said the end shall come? The answer might surprise you, but we're going to really dig into this tonight, and we're going to show you all of these things that must happen to close out the end of one age and thrust us into the next church age. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, November the 21st, and that means it is our time for equipping and teaching the body of Christ. Again, this is End Time Headlines, and I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. If you're new, this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below if you can. If you're able to comment, let us know that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, guys, you know the drill. Before we even get started into this thing, go ahead and hit that like button. That's going to help push this out so other people can be blessed with our content as well. And then do yourself a favor. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Hit that bell notification. That way you can keep up to par with everything that we're putting out there on these social media platforms, Rumble, YouTube, and so on and so forth. And of course, you guys listen by Apple and Spotify. We appreciate you as well. And guys, if you love and enjoy our content, you can help us out by giving us a good review as well. So guys, again, tonight, if you're just joining us, we're going to talk about several things that has to happen to bring the end of the age. Now, as I talked about in the introduction of this, one of the very familiar passages that many of us has heard, and I'm going to put this up here real quick. So that you can see this as a point of reference. I'll pull this right up here on the screen. If you guys are listening by Apple, by Spotify, or whatever you get your podcast from, I'm going to go to Matthew 24:14. Now, this is not going to be our foundation in which we build this entire message on, but it is definitely a talking point. Matthew 24:14, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." Now, if you talk to some people and you ask them, what is the end? I guarantee you, if we took a general poll and we read this verse just out in public to just random strangers, and we asked them if they're willing to take the survey, what do you think this means when it says, "and the end will come"? I guarantee you the overwhelming majority is going to answer with the end of the world. But guys, that is not what Jesus was talking about. In fact, let me tell you what he was talking about. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, we're going to pull this up. Now, this is going to be our foundation in which we build our entire this teaching on. Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. "Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation," I want you to pay attention to that word, "dispensation, of the fullness of the times." Here's another phrase to pay attention to. Watch this. "He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him." So I'm going to keep this up on the screen, but I'm going to talk to you for a moment. So here we have this word, dispensation. Now, this word is found four times in the English translation of the Bible. I'm not going to turn all these verses here, but you can find this in here in Ephesians, but you can also find it in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. You can find it in 1 Corinthians 9:17 and Colossians 1:25. Again, it's found four times in the English translation of the Bible. This word This word dispensation literally means it is a word to express stewardship. It is like if you were to break this down, the word dispensation in Greek is literally where we get the word economy from. Now, this may not make any sense to you, but let's look at it from this perspective. It is as though you were keeping things in order or giving an account or keeping accounts balanced, okay? So that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things that are in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are both in earth. Now, the individuals who have been given the responsibility to keep things in order and to give an account is the church. It's the ecclesia. We have been given the Great Commission, right? Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Okay? Then in Matthew 24:14, it says this gospel, the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. It didn't say that every individual on the planet must hear the gospel. It says that this gospel must go around the world and be a witness to all nations. Okay? This is one of, okay, so this number one, if you're taking notes, number one thing, the first thing that has to happen before we end one age and transition to another, and I'm going to give you more details on what that means in just a moment, is the gospel of the kingdom has to be preached into all the world as a witness to all nations. This has to happen. And again, I want to remind you that we, the church, have been given the stewardship, the responsibility to take this gospel and preach it around the world. Now, let's talk about this. When the fullness of times come, let me go back up here to Ephesians, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, okay, let's talk about this phrase. So there is a fullness of time that has to transpire. And again, there's a sequence of events. One of them we just talked about, the gospel of the kingdom being preached to all the world. And then once all of these events transpire and climax together, then we shift from one age. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, you've already said this. Yeah, exactly. Let me clarify what that is. So right now, presently speaking, we are in what theologians call the dispensation of grace. Okay? There's different dispensations. For example, there was the dispensation of the law, which was under, this was during the time of Moses. This was during the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This was the establishment of the Torah and of the law. And then there, and then another dispensation came and a shift came, and it went from the dispensation of the law to the prophets. Okay? And then it went from, and then that went all the way to John the Baptist. Are you following me? And then once John the Baptist recognized Yeshua, Jesus Christ, he understood that he was no longer, his role, rather, or his mission, or what he was purposed to do was to watch, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when John saw Jesus, at the Jordan, and he saw when he baptized him and the Holy Spirit as the appearance of a dove rested upon him, what did John say? He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. At that moment, we had another transition. Now we went from the law to the prophets, ending there. And I'm not saying that there's no more prophets in the earth. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about dispensations here, okay? Then it went from John to Yeshua, which Jesus represents the end of the law, which is grace. That's why from John to now, present tense, We are now in the window, or we are in the time of what's called the dispensation of grace. Now, where are we going? Eventually, guys, we have to transition to the kingdom age. This will transpire physically when Christ returns and continues through his 1,000-year millennial reign. Let me say that again. The next transition that's coming, right now we're in the transition of grace, but what's coming after us, after this transition that's coming, will be the 1,000-year millennial reign. This is when Christ returns and sets up his physical kingdom on earth. So as of the time being, present tense, we have an open window of time to reach souls for the kingdom of heaven. This is why we see scriptures like this, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is his one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So again, present tense today, we are seeing the grace of God in the earth. We, as stewards of that, are managing the grace of God that is in earth to, in order for people to be converted to the Lord. Friends, we've said it before. If we were not under this dispensation of grace, we would have literally seen entire cities completely wiped off the map, like we did in the days of the cities of the plains in Sodom and Gomorrah. There were five cities of the plains. Four out of five were decimated. One survived. Go read this in Genesis 19. When the angels of God came and they gave an eyewitness account of the abominations that was taking place in the cities of the plains, they told Lot and his family, hurry up and get out of the cities, for we can do nothing until you're out of the way. And there was one of the five cities of the plains, there was one city called Zoar, and that's where Lot and his daughters, and it was intended for his whole family to go, but we know that they all did not make it. But Lot and his two daughters were the ones that were that made it out, and they fled to this place called Zoar, but the other four cities were completely decimated. Again, in the time of Noah, God found grace in the eyes of eight souls that made it on the ark, but the majority did not make it. And in that time, God's long-suffering allowed this wickedness and abominations to carry on for over 100 years while Noah preached to escape the judgment that was coming. Get your family right with God. Get into the ark over 100 years. And the Bible says, Jewish literature, one of the books called the Book of Jasher, says that once Noah and his family entered the ark and the door was shut by God himself and the rains began to fall, over 700,000 people began beating on the door of the ark, but the window of grace was closed. It was over, and there was left no more place of repentance. Now, let's go back to the church. Now, when we talk about the church, the ekklesia is the Greek word, and it means the called out ones, okay? We're not talking about a brick and mortar place here. You could say that the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem in the upper room. And then, and this was all Jews. And then in Acts chapter 10, with the salvation of Cornelius and his household, he was the first Gentile and his family to be grafted into this covenant, enabling Gentiles to be converted to the church and become, again, all. And this fulfills what Paul talks about, the one new man. So there was two groups. There's two groups of individuals that make up this part of the dispensation of the church, which is the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, you do know that Peter was raised up to bring the gospel to the circumcised, which represents the Jews, and the apostle Paul was raised up to preach the gospel to the uncircumcised, which is the Gentiles. I thought that was pretty cool. But again, the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time, Luke 16:16, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. So again, we know that Jesus ratified a new covenant by his own blood. The author of Hebrews says that he took his own blood, not the blood of goats and rams and sheep. He took his own blood and he made a new covenant in his blood. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." All right. So now, this dispensation of grace will continue in the earth until something else transpires. Okay, here we go. Now you can write down number two. All right, the second thing that's going to happen is there is eventually going to be what's called the cup of iniquity will become full. The cup of iniquity will become full. Now you can find the first reference of this all the way back in the book of Genesis in chapter 15. I want to read this to you. "And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge afterward. They shall come out with great possessions." Now he's talking about the children of Israel would go into captivity for 400 years. And then once there would, now watch what he says here. "Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here. For look at this, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." Other translations say, "For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." Now let's take you right into the tribulation period. Let's go to Revelation 18. I'm going to show you this, Revelation 18. And this is Revelation 18:2-5. "And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations," look, watch what he says here, "all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Notice he mentions the wine of the wrath. Okay, "the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard of another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." So watch this. All of the, when you see the wickedness, the sin, the oppression, the evil continually, the abominations, it's happening in America, outside of America, all over the world, guys. Again, this, all God observes all of it. He sees all of it. He watches over it. And it's, this is like, if picture a cup, okay? And every time the nations commit these acts of defiance against God, they're committing these abominations, It keeps filling up this cup. Now, again, this, we don't know by the sovereignty of God how full this cup is. But we do know there's a depiction here. I've showed you that in the book of Genesis, in the book of Revelation, there's this, God talks about this cup of indignation shall be poured out. The wrath of God, when this cup of iniquity becomes full. I mean, you guys realize this is what's going to cause, this is what's going to introduce the Antichrist too, right? Remember in 2 Thessalonians, Paul said, the mystery of lawlessness or the mystery of iniquity is already at work. And it will continue to work until there is a restrainer that is removed, and then the man of iniquity, the lawless one, will be revealed in his time. I'm going to show you something in the book of Daniel. It goes right along with everything we're saying here. Watch this. And this is pretty profound if you've never seen this. This is in Daniel chapter 8:23-24. And in the latter time of their kingdom, look at this next statement. When the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise having fierce countenance. This translation said features. King James says a king will arise with fierce countenance who understands sinister schemes. Guys, do you realize all of this right here? Every theologian that I know of personally is going to tell you this is a description of the Antichrist that will come. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Again, he will be working by the power of Satan, the dragon, the dracon in Greek. And you, again, you can find that. This Paul agrees with all of this in his church to Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When the Antichrist takes over the temple and declares himself as God, the dragon is what gives him the power to do so. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive, and he shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Again, this the holy people here, guys, is not the ecclesia. It is not the church. The holy people here is talking about the Jews in the tribulation, okay? But don't miss it. That's not what we're talking about. I want you to focus on this right here. Notice the Antichrist does not arise until the transgressors have reached their fullness. Wow. Guys, is that not a heavy revelation right there? So I'm trying to tell you guys, listen to me. For all of us who are like, God, are you not seeing what's going on? God, are you kidding me? Are you turning a blind eye to this abominable nonsense and all of the buffoonery that's going on and all of the vile wickedness and the absolute blatant blasphemy that's going on? Friends, God has not missed any of it. God has seen all of it. What is happening, friends, is the iniquity is going up before heaven. And when that cup becomes full, major things begin to happen. Let me just get right into what's going to happen. When this transition, listen, when this dispensation of grace is over, something is going to happen. Okay, so number one, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. Number two, the cup of iniquity has to become full. The cup of transgressors must become full. When it becomes full and that cup begins to spill over, you know what that is, friend? That is the wrath of God. But before that happens, there has to be something else that transpires, and I'm going to take you there right now. All right, let's go all the way back up here to the very foundational scripture that we started with, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. Let's read it again. Well, let's start at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, now we've already talked about what that means, Christ, this is who this he is here, Jesus might gather together, there's a gathering together that's going to happen, in one, all things that are in Christ, watch this, both which are in heaven and on earth in him. Friends, I propose to you all of this right here. What he's talking about is the same thing that the Apostle Paul was relaying to the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's take you there. All right, here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses, let's start with 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Again, that's an idiom that was used for meaning dead. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who are dead in Christ. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or dead. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then, come on, those that are in heaven. And then we who are alive and remain on earth shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. You got to catch this. So notice here, there is a gathering from heaven, there's a gathering from earth, and they're caught up together with the Lord. Now let's go back to Ephesians. He says that at the dispensation of the fullness of times, there's going to be a gathering together. And one, things that are in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. Friends, listen to me. The number three thing that's going to happen is the rapere, the rapture, the harpezo, the gathering together, the catching away, whatever you want to call it, is going to happen at the end of the church age. Now, why is it going to happen at the end of the church age? Well, number one, the gospel of the kingdom has been preached to all the world as a witness, Matthew 24:14. And number two, the cup of indignation of the wrath of God has become full, and God is about to turn that cup over, and he's about to pour out his indignation and wrath. And friends, listen to me. He pours it out during a 7-year period on earth called the tribulation period. And your Bible just so happens to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, for God did not appoint us, the church, to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. How far do you want me to go with you? I can take you to Malachi chapter 3 and show you there's a book in remembrance. A book of remembrance that is written. We talked about that. It's one of the five books in heaven. There is a book of remembrance that is written for those who speak consistently of the Lord. They fear the Lord. And God says, I'll put their name in that book and I'll remember them on that day that I make them up my precious jewels. I will spare them, and you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between those who are his and those who are not his, those who have a covenant with him and those who don't. Come on. I wish somebody would get excited up in here. I'm trying to tell you guys, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, it mentions the grace of God at the beginning of the book, and it ends in Revelation 22, verse 1, but never mentions from Revelation 1 all the way to 22, you will not find a mention of the grace of God. Uh-oh, there's crickets up in here. Why? Because, again, because the church has been taken from the earth, and the wrath of God is being poured out. There is no release of grace globally during the tribulation period except for a remnant of 144,000 Jews and the two witnesses that will be given the anointing of the Lord to go and preach and evangelize to the Jewish people so that Romans 11 may be fulfilled, that all Israel may be saved. So let's recap this real quick. So number one, the gospel, Matthew 24:14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world as a witness. Then the end shall come. Number two, there is what's called the cup of the indignation of the wrath of God, that when this cup becomes full, God will pour out this cup. But before that cup is poured out, another event will transpire before this, and that is the rapture of the church. And let's go to number four. Number four, watch this. Let's go to Romans 11. All right, Romans 11, 25. For I do not desire, brethren. Now, again, this whole letter was written to Jews. Paul is writing this to Jews, and he says, I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, okay, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So here's your number four. There is a set number of Gentiles that will be saved. This is another end time trigger for the end of the age. Now, this will likely coincide with Matthew 24:14, where when this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, there's a set number of Gentiles that comes into the kingdom. Again, I'm reading this Let me pull this up. I thought I had pulled this up. Let me pull it up. All right, again, this is Romans 11:25. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Why? And so that all Israel will be saved. Okay, so again, I've said this before, guys. When the rapture takes place, when these events take place and we transition from the end of the church age, which is the dispensation of grace, and we transition into the tribulation period, the entire focus is on Israel, the Jewish people, not the church. The church is gone. The church is in heaven after from Revelation 4 on. The church is in heaven, and here we are in heaven. The wrath of God and the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of Satan is being poured out on the earth. The church is in heaven. In mid-trib, we are at the judgment seat of Christ. We're receiving our rewards. Then at the end of the tribulation, we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb there with Christ. We're not on the earth. All right, now I'm going to shift gears. So these are the four things, guys, that must transpire. These things will climax at the end of the age. And then again, this is when the major shift will come. A major dispensation will come. We will move from the age of grace right into the tribulation period. Now I'm going to show you one more verse before we get into this. Let's go over to Acts chapter 3. Now again, this is after the church was birthed. Acts chapter 2, upper room, Jerusalem. Peter standing up, he's preaching the gospel, and it says here in verse 19, Peter stands up and says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now this, this ties into my last point, number 5, but watch this. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his prophets since the world began. Again, Peter gives us another clue here, that heaven is restraining the Lord from returning until the times of restoration of all things that must be fulfilled, which has been spoken by the holy prophets since the world began. And that's going to be number 5, which is all of the prophecies that's been spoken of regarding Israel must be fulfilled. Israel must be reborn as a nation, May 14th, 1947. Israel, the capital of Jerusalem, must be restored. Six-day war was fulfilled. Israel must blossom again. It was fulfilled through what prophet Isaiah said. The Jews would begin to come back to their land, just as Ezekiel talked about, that they would return back into their homeland. All of these prophecies concerning Israel, nearly every one has been fulfilled. All of them is being fulfilled. They've either been fulfilled or nearly all has been fully completed. Okay? So again, all of that had to happen before heaven would release Jesus. I didn't say that. Peter said that. I just showed you that in Acts chapter 3. It said, whom heaven must withhold or hold back until the restoration of all things that was spoken of by the prophets be fulfilled. So there's your number 5. Okay. Then number 6, guys. Number 6 is what Peter spoke of in Acts chapter 2. Here's what he said. Peter stands up with the 11, raises his voice and says to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, come on somebody, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men shall see or shall have dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven and above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So this is your number 5. Excuse me. This is your number 6. So here's the six things. Let's recap them. Number one, Matthew 24:14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. Number two event that has to happen is the cup of iniquity has to become full. Number three, the church has to be harpazo, raptured, caught up, taken out of the way. Number four, the gospel, a sovereign number of Gentiles will be reached. They will be saved. They'll come into the kingdom. And this, once this takes place, God will shift the blindness that was once in part of Israel will shift. And the Gentiles, I believe, will go and start going into blindness. And then the Jews' eyes will be open. And this will predominantly happen during the tribulation with the two witnesses and the 144,000. And then number five is, again, Israel must be restored. We're talking about physically. We're talking about spiritually. We're talking about as a sovereign nation. We're talking about the capital restored. All of this stuff, again, nearly all of these prophecies that were foretold about the nation of Israel has been fulfilled. That is number five. And then number six, again, there is this end day, last day, latter rain, outpouring of the Holy Ghost that's sweeping the earth, and we're presently in this. Just because we don't see this happen in America doesn't mean it's happening. It's happening in different locations. It's sporadic. It's not happening everywhere. And guys, that's with any rainfall. It can be a drought over here across town, and then 600 miles over there, they're getting floods. Come on, I believe that God is pouring out his spirit where there is willing hearts, where there is recipients that are wanting it, that are hungry for God, that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, sons and daughters. They're going to be impacted. Come on, men servants and maid servants. They're going to have visions. They're going to have dreams. I'm going to do all these things. And then he transitions. He says, before the coming, the great and awesome day of the Lord, not only is that going to transpire, but you're going to see wonders in heaven above, signs in earth beneath, blood, fire, vapors of smoke. You're going to see blood moons. You're going to see solar eclipses. You're going to see wars. Remember, Jesus said all these things in Matthew 24. But here is where I want to close with this. I want to bring a somber end to this. Because remember, this is all about souls, guys. One thing you got to remember is when the termination of the church age transpires, it is going to happen suddenly and very quickly. Now, do you have Bible for that, preacher? Yes. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were in one mind and one accord, and suddenly there came a sound. Suddenly the church was birthed in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. On May 14th, 1947, in a day, Israel was reborn as a nation. Isaiah 66. Luke 17. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day. Come on, somebody say the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came. Likewise, it will be in this generation. Come on. Then in verse 29, but of the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Matthew 24:27, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will also be the coming of the Son of Man. You guys do realize that lightning travels around the planet 7.2 times in a second. An atomos second. It's the same word, guys, using 1 Corinthians 15:51-55. When he's talking about the rapture of the church, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in an atomos second, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. Come on, mortality will be swallowed up by immortality. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. I'm trying to tell you, friends, this is not something that we can play around with. This is not something that we can take lightly. I'm telling you, based on the word of God, come on, this from all the signs that are happening. The birth pangs are intensifying. Everything's increasing. Jesus said in Luke 21:28, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, you better look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. This is not the time to be in lukewarm living. This is not the time to be in a lifestyle of passivity. This is not a time to sit on the sidelines. This is not a time to get, come on, be at the side of the pool with your feet wet, but you're not willing to jump all the way in. I don't know who this is for. Maybe you're watching, maybe you're listening, and you just heard this message tonight and the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Let me ask you something, friend. If the Lord was to return tonight, if he was to split that eastern sky, if that trumpet was to sound and the voice of the archangel was to shout, would you be ready? And millions of Christians around the world, those that are in covenant with God, the overcomers, they're going to be caught up in an atomos second, and faster than lightning, gone, boom, caught up with them in the clouds. And they'll be gathered together. And the Bible says in Ephesians, Paul said this will happen at the dispensation of the fullness of times. I don't think, guys, you're going to know today that the rapture is going to happen tomorrow. The Bible says if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have broken into his house, he would have not allowed it to be broken into. But you be watchful and be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour and a day that you know not. Come on, it's time to stop playing games. Right now, in Jesus' name, won't you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice, those that may be watching, those that may be listening, those that are watching by the live broadcast of this or by the rebroadcast of this. If they're riding the fence, they're lukewarm, they've not fully committed unto the Lord, they're not ready in their heart. They know in their heart of hearts that if you were to come back tonight, Lord, they would be left behind. They would be thrusted into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. They'd be thrust into a global system that would be ruled and reigned by world leaders that would unite together under one umbrella of one world religion and one world government and a system of buying, selling, and trading that would require them to put something in their hand or their forehead, and then they're going to be required to worship an image likely created through artificial intelligence. And if they refuse this, they will lose their head. Lord, this is the fate that meets those who don't go out on the first run. So I pray right now in Jesus' name, if that's you, I pray that you would do what Peter said in Acts chapter 3. He said, repent therefore and be converted. Repent therefore and turn from your sin and wicked ways. Repent of this wicked generation, this perverse and wicked generation, and put your faith and trust in the only true Messiah. His name is the only name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved. And his name is Jesus. And friends, if you will pray that and you'll mean that in your heart and you'll believe that, according to the book of Romans, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. So we welcome you into the kingdom tonight. We thank you guys for being a part of this topic, this teaching tonight. Again, if you've been blessed by this, again, let us know in the comments. Also, hit that like button. That's going to help us get eyes on our channel. And if you've not downloaded our free app, if you enjoy content like this, breaking news, prophecy, viewpoints, teachings, equippings, information, the whole nine yards, download our free app available on Apple and Android. Get it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're not going to miss any headline by doing that. And as always, guys, we'd love for you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can help us continue to remain strong and active week after week after week. And you can do that either electronically or through check or money order. If you wish to give by electronically speaking, you can give through the app, you can give through the website, right there on YouTube where it says support in bold letters, you can click there. And if you wish to give by check or money order, right there on the screen, Anytime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. Again, tomorrow we'll have our 2 p.m. Eastern broadcast, which will be our prophecy viewpoint. We don't know what's going on. We've been covering Russia all week because things just keep escalating. Hopefully we can shift gears and talk about other topics. If not, we want to keep you updated on what's hot, what's going on. What, you know, we want to keep you right up to the forefront. Everything else is taking a back burner. This has kind of been right up on the forefront of talking points. So 2 p.m. Eastern, right here, same time, same place, same channel. And then we'll be right back here, Lord willing, tomorrow night, Friday night, November 22nd, right here at 8 p.m. Eastern for another equipping and teaching message. And then Saturday, we plan on coming on here at least once and doing probably a prophecy viewpoint. And then make sure you mark this down so you don't be freaking out when you don't see us. We'll be gone Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for 6 days. No podcasts, no prayer meetings. I know it's going to be even hard for me because I love doing what I do. This is what we do. This is my calling. This is my burden. Okay. But I also understand that there's what's called family. There's what's called rest. Even God rested on the seventh day. So we do need those times of rest, and this will be good for all of us. But we'll keep the information arm of our ministry. We'll continue our articles. So again, if you got the app, you'll see the articles. We just won't be doing any podcasts. Now, if there is something major, 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 breaking news, major, we'll go live, from a different location. But we won't be in the studio, but we'll go live. It's not like, you know, if something major, major happens, we're going to go live, but we don't plan on broadcasting whatsoever from Saturday on. So again, from Sunday all the way to next Saturday, not this Saturday, but the next following Saturday, we'll probably come on here and do something on that Saturday afternoon. So again, we love you guys. We appreciate you. We'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.